Just a very brief introduction. My name's Graham Stanford. As said, I come from Carnforth. I have been very much involved with the soccer ministry for many years. I developed it. It's grown into an international ministry now. And it's really using soccer and netball and sport to reach people who don't go to church. And so we put soccer schools on for kids. We do a men's league that play on Saturdays. We have a netball league on a Wednesday for girls and ladies. 27 teams in that league. And it's touching a lot of lives. And we have a soccer for five-a-side midweek as well, for five-a-side team. And you can be speaking to as many as 50 people on a Wednesday night at that soccer outreach. So it's a great way. A couple of our staff, the director now, who I believe he's coming to preach here. Yeah. Will Marsden, is it right, he's coming? Well, William is today, his wife today is going to, on an aeroplane, she may be on the plane now, flying to, I believe it's the old Burma. What's the name for Burma? Mama, that's it, whatever it is. Anyway, she's going there, and then Indonesia, on to Indonesia, and then on to Thailand. We are several weeks sharing the gospel through sport to all kinds of brilliant opportunities. So that's the sort of thing that I do. The other thing that I do is now I've handed over the sports reach work to William, who's coming, as I say, to preach here. You love William and Sue, if Sue comes with him. But I'm running a little work called The Greatest Life. And we do little evangelistic missions. For instance, in a few weeks' time, at half term, just after half term, we're going to Crown Lane Church. And I've got a team of students from Cape and Ray Hall. They go on outreach every year at end of February. And so I've got six of them. And we're doing a mission to reach the people in the community around Crown Lane. And little sort of things we're doing. One night we're going to do a doctor in the house. I've got three Christian doctors. Or I'm hoping to get three Christian doctors. Plenty of Christian doctors in our area. And they're going to talk about well-being. And they're going to talk about their spiritual well-being as well. So it should be a good night. And I think people will come to hear doctors, okay? And then another night, I'm going to do the big sing. And we're going to have a really big sing-song time. And a lot of people love to come out for a big sing. And so we're going to do a big sing. And we're going to talk about, you know, how Christ can put a new song in our hearts. So that's the sort of thing we do. It's a 10-day mission. And we hope it will greatly encourage. You could pray for that, the Crown Lane mission. That we're doing. That's just outside Preston area, just beyond Preston. Catfoss, that's it. Yeah, that's where we're at. So if you're in that area, just come in and see us. Come for the big sing, and we'd be great to see you. So that's what I do. Different things like that. So it's great to be here. Now, what I want to do is a short reading. It's a story. It's a favourite story. Certainly it was of my kids when they were little. Okay, they love this story. And I'm going to share some really simple, but I hope exciting truths from it. Okay, it's the story of Zacchaeus. Chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once, welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw that he began to mutter, "He's gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." And I just want to say that This is a story that it's a much loved story. It's so wonderful story because Jesus said, you know, he told the story because of that last verse that I read, because it's to illustrate that the whole purpose for which Jesus came into the world, and that was to seek, that's look for people, okay? He might be looking for your life today. And not only just to look for them and to meet with them, but to actually save them. That's what Jesus wants to do. If you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, I've got some fantastic news for you. Jesus is looking for you and he wants to save you. Not all simple and clear than that. Isn't that brilliant? And it's good news. So I want to tell it for two reasons. Just in case there's anybody here who's never yet asked Christ into their life. Well, of course it's for you because that's what Jesus wants to do. But secondly, it's a message I want to give to you as a church. To bring you right to the very heart of what God is doing and what he wants us as churches to do. And that's to ever, and I know you do it here, but I don't need to, you know, you're out there, or was going to be out there on Saturday, but you're seeking lost people. You know, this church will grow, this church will get bigger and bigger if the fellowship here are always doing what Jesus did, seeking people and seeking to bring them to Christ. And that's the great purpose. We must always have a centre of our church. That's why God's left us on this planet. He could have taken us straight to heaven when we became Christians. But he says, no, I have a job for you to do before that. I want you to be involved. Every one of you, every Christian's a missionary. All right. You know, you say, oh, some of them are missionaries and they go to Bongo Bongo Land and all over the place. But no, every Christian is a missionary. Jesus said this, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. So Jesus said, the reason I came was to seek lost people, help them to find the way to heaven, to God. And now I'm going back into heaven, so you better get on with the job. You know, that's why I'm leaving you here, and I'll come and live in you, and I'll come and help you by my power in your life. I'll give you power to be a witness. And you go now to the uttermost parts, to people everywhere, and the whole of Southport needs to know about Jesus. And so that's, I want to talk about those two things. So let's have a look at this lovely story, a very simple story. Jesus came to Jericho. What was Jesus doing going to Jericho? Well, he was looking for lost people. He was particularly looking for one guy in particular called Zacchaeus. And the Bible describes him as lost. The Son of Man came to seek lost. What on earth does that word mean? How is somebody lost? Well, simply, he's lost from God. You know, we might be in this world, we live in our lives, but we can be lost from God. God's somewhere up there, but I don't know where he is. I don't know how to find him. We're lost. And another way how we can know that Zacchaeus was lost, I'm going to give you a bit of a clue now. Because his name, you know, we still have people called Zacchaeus today. I've got a friend called Zacchaeus. What does it mean, Zacchaeus? It simply means pure one. So you can imagine his mum having a little baby. She was pregnant and she's going to have a little baby. And she said, wow, I'm going to have a baby. What shall we call him? And she thought, all right, you know, when he was born, he looked, you know, little kids have that lovely shiny face. You know, and everything looks so innocent, don't they? They're not always innocent, I'll tell you. But it's so, she said, I want to call him pure, you know. But the problem is with Zacchaeus, unlike it's true of us all, that he didn't grow up very pure, okay? What happened? Materialism stuck into his life. He wanted to make a lot of money and he wanted to make it quick. And one of the best ways to make a lot of money in those days, and maybe it's still the same today, I don't know, to be a tax collector, right? He was interested in getting... But, you know, the tax collectors of those days were quite cheats. They would go up to you. They got the Romans were in power and they employed, you know, Jewish tax collectors, and they could go to you and ask you for a tax. For instance, if your tax was £4, they would go up to you and say, the Romans have sent me to collect the taxes, £6, please. you know. And what happened, it cost £2. Let's put it in our language. And by this guy Zacchaeus became very wealthy. It says he was a very wealthy tax. Jesus was a tax collector. Sorry, he was a tax collector in the region, and he became very rich. Dishonestly rich. So what this guy, now we say he was lost. Well, how was he lost? Well, God wanted him to live a pure life, just like his parents did. But now he's becoming a bit of a deceptive man. He's telling lies. Your money's £6. No, it wasn't £6. It was only £4. You're telling the people that it was £4. You're twisted. And he lowered his integrity. And, you know, that's what we can do today. We can be. The Bible says this, and the Bible is very accurate. It says this about men and women today. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, it means this. Everybody's come short of God's standard in our lives. We all do things that are wrong. Tell lies, cheat sometimes. I used to cheat terribly at football, all right? I can remember once, just give it, everybody, in football it's done. But it was 2-2. There was only about 5 minutes left. And I'm breaking through. There's the goal. I break through the box and I'm just about to score. But a defender comes flying at me, you know. And he just gives me a little nudge. You know what I did? I dived. I went rolling all over. Oh, ref! And the referee pointed at the penalty spot. And you know what? He's got a penalty. We won the game 3-2. But that was a cheat. So I can... You know, I feel I'm a bit like Zacchaeus because I've cheated in my life. I've done things wrong. And he was like that. He was lost. But I'll tell you a good thing about Zacchaeus. The good thing about him, that's not a very good thing that he was a bit of a dishonest person. The good thing about him, he was a seeker. It says this, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He'd heard about Jesus. And he thought, well, you know, although I've got a lot of money and I'm very well off, I've done well in life. I've got to the top. In fact, he was the chief tax collector, it said. So he got right to the top, you know. And so he was saying, you know, I've done very well, but, you know, there's something empty in my life. There's something missing. And you know, we can get like that. I was watching the TV at Wimbledon. I don't know if you saw any of Wimbledon this year on TV. But I was watching it, and there was a lady came on called Mary Pierce. And she was a Wimbledon doubles champion in 2004. And she won great tournaments. And yet, she'd won all these great matches. And she said, there was something missing in my life. I was a top player. She said, I could win big tournaments. And then she said this. But I was still lonely and unhappy in my hotel room afterwards. And, you know, one day, I don't know how it was, somebody told her about Jesus. Somebody like your church went out seeking and saving. I just happened to mention it to Mary. And she opened her heart to Jesus. And she said, I was born again. And I became a Christian, she says. My life changed from that day, and it has never been the same again. Winning major tournaments was an amazing experience, but you cannot compare that by knowing Jesus. That's what the top tennis star said. She met Jesus. She was seeking Jesus. She had this emptiness in her life. There's something missing. There's something missing. And what was missing was Jesus. And what a great moment it was in her life. Well, so that's the first thing that I want to share with you about that men are lost. We sometimes have an emptiness in our life. We sometimes know there's something missing. And then I want to tell a little bit, I've talked about Zacchaeus, I want to talk a little bit about Jesus. Because Jesus was actually seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus came and was looking for Zacchaeus that day. And the old story, as you read it, begins to focus on Jesus. Remember, the Son of Man, it says, came to seek and to save lost people. And one of the great moments, if you're seeking Jesus, it's a very exciting moment to discover a very simple truth. And I just want to share that. Very simple truth. Listen, Jesus is seeking you. You're precious to him. I'm going to use a word that's absolutely true. I just wanted to sink in. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves Zacchaeus. He knew all about him. He knew all his bad things. This is the wonderful thing about Jesus. He knows the bad things about us, and he still loves us. You know? Some of us think, well, he couldn't love me because I've done this and I've done that. And I was remember what preaching in Preston. And a lady came up to me. I finished speaking, and I'd said something in the service, you know, that he really does care about everybody, and he wants to come to your life, something like that. And this lady, she came up to me, and she said, he won't come to me, she said. So, like a good preacher, what do you think I said? Yes, he would. You know what she said to me? No, he won't. We had a bit of a ping-pong match then. I kept saying, yes, he would. She said, no, I won't. And then all of a sudden, she says to me, he won't. He says, you don't understand. I said, I run off from my husband. I'm an alcoholic now. I left my kids. And, you know, I've done some horrible things, she said. So I still said, yes, he will. She said, no, he won't. So I just said to her, I don't know why I don't usually say this. I just turned around to her and I said, and what's your name? You know, that's what I don't usually say that, ladies. I'm not going to say that to you. But I just said, what's your name? You know what she said? Grace. I says, what? She said, my name's Grace. I said, do you know what it means? She said, no, I don't know what my name means. I'll tell you what it means. It says, God, in his love for you, will give you what you don't deserve. And he wants to save you today. You don't deserve it. I know you've told me you don't deserve it. God loves you so much that he's going to give you this salvation. Even though you don't deserve it. She couldn't get over that. She went. I found out afterwards, she went home that day after the service. I didn't put any more, I just shared that. She knelt down and she asked Jesus into her life. Just simple. Ask Jesus to come and save her. Jesus was seek in fact, this is what it said. I love this verse of the story. Jesus reached the spot, it says. He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. He came right to the very spot where she was. You say, why do I go onto football fields and talk to footballers and stand there like a many a match, and I'd have got all the players who played, hey, come guys and stand round here, you know, and I stood there amongst them all. Why am I doing it? Because Jesus wants to go to the spot where footballers are, you know. He comes right where we are, and that's what happened in this story, and heaven touched his life at that moment. And not only did Jesus come to where he was, he spoke to him. And he had a very simple message. The wonderful thing about the gospel, I want to tell you about the gospel today. It's very simple, okay? Not complicated. You don't have to go and get about 300, you know, O levels and, you know, to understand it. I told it to my, you know, I was playing with my little grandson once, and he loves the story of Zacchaeus. So I said, we're going to act it out. Climb up on that chair, you know, and he climbed up on that chair. And I said, right, Zacchaeus climbed up a tree, so you're up the tree. Now he said, yeah, I'm up the tree. And I said, right, I'm at the bottom. I said, I want you to come down. Come down up. Come down and stand here. I said, you know, that's exactly. And do you know what Jesus said to Zacchaeus? He said, come down immediately. And this is what he said. Because not only does he seek us, he speaks to us. And this is what Zacchaeus said. This is what he said. I must stay at your house today. You say to me, Graham, I come to church, I come to learn. I want to find out what Jesus wants to say to my life. That's why I'm here. Listen, listen to this very clearly, very simple. He says, he doesn't say, I want to come to your house, like he did Zacchaeus. Do you know what he says? If you want me to put the gospel in a nutshell, all right, this is what it is. I want to come to your heart and save you. That might be a message just for somebody here. I want to come to your heart and save you. And this is what he says. I must stay. So he doesn't just come, you know, for a minute. He actually comes to live. The scripture says he must dwell in our heart. He comes to stay, to help us with our lives. He comes to help us with our problem. He stays when we ask him to come to our life. And then it says, he said this, I must stay at your house today. Wow. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, I want today to come into your heart. I want today to do it. Not tomorrow. Why not tomorrow? Well, we might get put it off tomorrow. And then it's another day we put it off. We don't know how many days we've got. A lot of people, you know, keep putting it off. And Jesus comes and he knocks on that door. And he says, hey, I want to get through to you. Today, I want to come into your heart because I love you. And listen, this is I died for you. Just as much as I died for anybody else, I died. That's what helped me to become a Christian myself. You know, I always believed that, even though I went religious, I always believed that Jesus died on a cross. You know, I always believed that since I was, you know, I don't know why I brought up in a Christian, nobody. I didn't go to Sunday school very long, got throughout. But I did hear bits and pieces. And you'd have, if you'd have got my life before a Christian, you'd say, Graham, what do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe in Easter? I said, yeah, I would say. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Yeah, I would say. But you know, the day I became a Christian, you know what happened? The guy was speaking, and it was just as though, as he was speaking about Jesus, it was just as though Jesus had said this, Graham, I died on the cross, but I died for you. Not just for everybody, I died for you. And it was that overwhelming sense that when Jesus was bearing the sin of the whole world on his shoulders on that cross, he was doing it for Graham Stamford. He died for me. He died for me. And when I realized, we used to sing a song. I haven't heard it for years, this song, but you might know it, brother. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And that's why I became a Christian. When I realized that Jesus loved me and died for me. And that's what a Christian is. Somebody who grasps that truth. I must stay at your house today, he said to Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus do when Jesus said that to him? I love what he did. This is what he did. Zacchaeus climbed down, took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. That's what it says in the New Living Translation. In the NIV, it says, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And do you know, how do you become a Christian? What have you got to do? Is it complicated? What have you got to do to become a Christian? Listen, so simple, you can understand this. Open your heart and receive Jesus gladly into your life, and he'll come. He received it. Joy. You know, I was absolutely thrilled. I mean, the day I became a Christian, the thought that Jesus wanted to live in a guy like me, you know, if you'd have known me, you'd have said, you know, a lot of people, I was a real trouble causer, all right? They would never have thought that I would ever become a Christian. But I was so glad. Derek gave his testimony here the last time. He said the greatest thing he did in his life was when he knelt down on his cart on the carpet. He was beating his wife up, all right? You remember his story? He broke his wife's eardrum by hitting her. He broke a rib in his wife, you know? He got drunk and smashed the home up, okay? But one day, Derek is here, tell you the story himself. He said, the best thing in my life is when I got on my knee in the front room of my house and asked Jesus into his heart. And he came in, of course, he wouldn't be here today. He's had wonderful, he would tell you, he's had wonderful years. God has changed his life completely. And so that's his response. Listen, what about what will happen? Say somebody says, I'll do that. I would love Jesus to be in my life. What'll happen? Well, listen what happened to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood up. This is after Jesus had come to his house. Jesus stood up and said to the Lord, 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 here and now I give my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times. Just little things. What did Zacchaeus do? First of all, it says he stood. Becoming a Christian, you've got to make a stand. It's no good saying, you know, quietly, I'm going to be a quiet disciple. No, Zacchaeus stood. He stood up. And everybody who gives their life to Christ has got to make a stand. They've got to say, yeah, I'm going to nail my colours to the mask. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's a stand. And that's what Zacchaeus did. He truly repented the second thing. Listen to what he said. Lord, now I give half my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times. He really did repent. To become a Christian, we've got to repent. What does that mean? It simply means you're doing things that you know are wrong. Wrong to God. If you swear, if you cheat, if you're selfish, you know all these things are wrong. So the day you become a Christian, you've got to say, I am going to turn around now. I'm going to leave that, all the bad, all the wrong in my life away. I'm turning around and I'm going to follow Jesus and do the things that are good and right. That's repentance. It's a complete turnaround. I'm now going to make Jesus. And he made Jesus his Lord. Notice he uses the word Lord when he spoke to Jesus. Lord, Lord, he said to Jesus. Jesus was the boss. That's basically what he was saying. You're the boss of my life now. And I want your power now to come into my life so I can live the Christian life. Some people say to me, oh, I'd become a Christian, but I'd never be able to keep it up. And my answer to that is always the same. Don't worry. You don't have to keep it up. Jesus will keep it up for you. He'll give you the power to do all that he wants you to do. It's power from him. You see, when we invite Jesus into our lives, he comes. Not just to have a little nice feeling in our heart. He comes to transform us. He comes to change us. He comes to make us better people. And that's exactly what he did to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was transformed by the power of Jesus. He was never the same again. We had a guy yesterday. I've never heard a guy quite as bad as this guy. He got through out of everything. He went in and out jail. He was in remand homes. He went to church once and stole the collection, okay? He did everything. He listed the things that he'd done in his life. It was incredible. You won't find a badder guy, I'll tell you that now. And there he was. You know, he was sharing with us. Now, he's the chaplain in the big school at Ripley near us. Caring for kids, helping kids off drugs, helping kids. You know, it's just life is being poured out now for the transformation, the power of Jesus. He changes lives. He does it today. There's a guy who's doing it in his life today. Derek's another guy. Many of you here, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? He's changing your life for the good. It's so exciting to be a Christian. You know, this is why. I am totally committed now to give the rest of my life to go as many people. Do you know, it's the only thing that works in this world. There's a lot of evil. The world's absolutely, people, you turn all this sex stuff on the television, what's happening to different people. I probably get fed up of watching it and hearing story after story ever since that scandal with, what was his name? Jimmy Savile. You know, that was when it all began, I think. But time and time again, people, even, you know, all kinds of things being done in the sexual realm. And, you know, what's happening to our society? There's only one answer. It's no good saying the politicians can do it. They ain't got a clue. With all the laws they're passing and all what they're saying in Parliament, I'll tell you what, our prisons are getting more fuller than ever. They haven't got enough room in prison. Every prison is absolutely packed with people. And it isn't working. They're coming in and they're reoffending. The only way, as I said, the only thing that can change a person's life is Jesus. This is why the gospel is so wonderful. It works. I had a guy in my football team. He drank. He was depressed. He was empty. Broken life. He gave his life to Jesus. He's now, we want to preach. Tell people about Jesus. It works. It changes lives. And it says in Colossians, this same good news that came to you is going all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere and changing lives. So I say this to you as a church. Get excited about the gospel. You've got the one answer that really works for our society. You've got the best news, in other words, in the whole world. There's nothing better than being involved in the work that you're doing in sharing the gospel. Your Saturday work, whatever your outreach, your little work that you're doing here, I really encourage you in this ministry that you're developing here for the community and doing all you can. May God bless you in that. And that's the heart. That's why you're saved. That's what you're saved to seek and save the lost. And then the other word is, obviously I've got to finish, and I want to finish by saying that if there's anybody here today, and there may be, I never know when I go around, I'm never sure, but there may be somebody who says, I, as yet, have not asked Jesus into my heart. I know he's seeking me. I'm so glad I've come to this fellowship. But today, I'd like to become a Christian. And if that's you, I'm going to say a little prayer as I finish, where you can actually today ask Jesus into your heart. And this could be the glorious beginning. I was in a church I was speaking in a cowboy church. In America, they have cowboy churches. Did you know? They all come in the cowboy clothes, all right, the big hats and everything. And I was speaking in a cowboy church in November, all these cowboys. And I preached a very simple message like I've been preaching here. And one of the cowboys, you know, he'd been going there, and I don't know how long he'd been going to this church, but he'd never asked Jesus into his heart. And just said what I said then. I'm going to make a little prayer. And this cowboy received Christ. He was in a wheelchair, actually. And the pastor was so excited. He said, we've been praying for him for years, you know. He's come to know Jesus, you know. This could be your story today. So if you've not asked Christ into your life, listen, open the door. That's the message. Open the door. And I'm going to say a prayer now, where you can open the door, and then I'm going to pray for the church, all right, for you Christians, and challenge you, encourage you in the great work of evangelism. Let's pray. This is the prayer for somebody here. This might be what you want to pray to ask Jesus to come to your life. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your wonderful love for me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. And thank you that you have come into this world to seek and to save the lost. And I realize I'm lost from God. And I want to find God. I want to know God. And today, thank you, Jesus, for knocking on the door of my heart and speaking to me. And right now, I want to do something very wonderful. I know it's going to change my life, but I want to do it. Right now, Lord Jesus, I want to ask you to come into my life, to come as my Savior, come as my Lord, come and enter my being so that I can be a real Christian. And I will follow you from this day. You can change me like you changed the life of Zacchaeus and made him such a better person that he wanted to care for the poor and help those who had cheated. Lord, you change lives. Please change mine from today. I want to become a Christian. Thank you that you don't turn anybody away. And I know you won't turn me away. I am yours now. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. And a prayer for those of us who are Christians. Father, thank you for this wonderful truth that the Son of Man came to seek and to save lost people. And thank you that you are doing that, and you want to do it through this fellowship, and you want to bless this church. And I thank you for those leaders of the church who've got this great heart to reach out to this community. I pray you'll bless them, give them wisdom, and may they build a great church here that will be to your honour and to your glory. May they be greatly encouraged, and may they see many people come to Christ through this work, and help each one of us. Lord, we want you to know this morning that we love you. We're available. Here am I, send me, use my life to speak to as many as possible about the wonderful Lord Jesus and his glorious gospel. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. If I could, and I don't know if you've got a song to finish with. Yeah, I can rest now. Okay, thank you very much, Dad.